Does it still sound like heavy breathing?
No, I just like when.
Oh well, then I'm not doing it right. Hang on. Hang on.
That'll work. What's up, everybody? This is Sammy from the Wily Ones, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
To another episode of Comic Popping Manga Style, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Lenny,
Jacob,
Jonathan,
and Logan.
In today's episode, we're going to be looking at Terra from Mars, written by Yu Sasuga, and art by Kenichi Tachibana. Mm-hmm. And this is one by, I believe it's Viz Signature. Yes, Viz Signature, so this is for the more mature imprint line. And before we get started, I've been negligent on introducing Jacob. We have a new podcast host. He's given it a shot, and if he likes it, so far he's come back. So, Jacob, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, hopefully,
he'll be
having fun, and he'll become a regular with us. So, we'll see what happens. But we've already done a couple of podcasts with him, and they've been fun. So, we're going to continue on having fun. So, do appreciate you joining us, Jacob, though. Hope you're having fun, too.
I am.
The main thing.
Lots of fun. All the fun.
Oh, yes.
It's super fun. But not this book. This book is terrible. Get ready for a bad one, for a bad review.
Oh, no, everybody you didn't knows. Like this. Anyway, in Terra from Mars, this is a play on words for Terraformer. They're terraforming a planet.
They're terraforming Mars. Got it. Yeah, very clever.
In the late 26th century, overpopulation on Earth is reaching the breaking point, and humanity must find new frontiers. The terraforming of Mars has taken centuries, but is now complete. The colonization of Mars by humanity is an epic-making event, but an unintended side effect of the terraforming process unleashes a horror no one could ever have imagined. And we'll leave it there. I think that's pretty much good enough. One of the quick things, we can kind of give away spoilers on this, because this is kind of a weird series. Book one is actually a prelude to the series. So what takes place in this, when you go to book two, you don't pick up right after this. You pick up years later.
Well, good, because the end of that book's incredibly dumb. And also the beginning and probably the middle, too. I didn't really, you know, it's
the problem, first of all, if we're going to terraform Mars, you, first of all, everyone knows you have to send Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
And
clearly.
They, multi-breasted women.
Yes, that's what you need. We've seen Total Recall, not the Colin
you know,
Farrell
whenever,
remake crap.
Whenever you see real deformations, like mutations from side effects of whatever, it's never that awesome. So good job with the people that made Total Recall with the three boobs. That was excellent placing of genetic abnormality.
The most recognized scene from that movie, probably. But anyway, the characters for this book, anyway.
All die.
It's a multinational crew.
Doesn't matter.
That goes to, a couple of them live. Donatello.
Yeah,
Davis,
both Japanese.
American. Thane is from Thailand.
By the way,
Sokichi Komachi is from Japan.
One of the
Maria Varen is
and
from
the
Russia.
Japanese.
Nanoa Akita is from Japan. God Lee is from Israel. And Ichiro Hiruma is from Japan. And two of the survivors, like Lynn says, they are from Japan. And surprisingly, it's not a male-female survivors.
No, not at all.
So there's no love triangle here, folks.
Well, there's definitely there's no female survivors, period. Through the, like, I remember most vividly the one that does the rainbow beetle. She puts on her carapace in very Sailor Moon style and immediately is whacked in half. Like, she does absolutely nothing.
And the Weevil armor only got to show off because the roaches, for some reason, used the guns from their ship.
Pretty much.
I'm guessing because they were bored. Though apparently the others, including one of the gals, took on groups of dozens or hundreds.
Yeah. But for some reason, to terraform Mars, the planet has frozen CO2. And this is the explanation from the book. I don't know if this is actual fact or not.
It's not
NASA.
This is totally just fiction.
But the planet has frozen CO2 that, if warmed, can change the planet's environment. Moss is introduced, as well as who knows how many cockroaches to cover the planet to absorb the sun and make it warmer to create a suitable place for humans to survive. First off, why the hell would you send cockroaches? We try to kill them here. Why do we want to?
It's ridiculous. I don't like it. I don't really have anything nice to say about it. And the cockroaches that kill all the awesomely beautiful women they draw in this comic book, they look ridiculous. With tiny little wings, they're stupid. And, you know, and like, they probably, if there were man-sized cockroaches, there wouldn't be humans. So there you go. Good job. You replaced the species. You know, I don't know. I just, to me, like, there are a lot of good stories that have a lot of people dying in them. But this one seemed like it was a story that was about a lot of people dying in really elaborate ways. And then,
it's like Saw.
And I mean, I imagine the second book has more substance. Like, this first one was just kind of, it's a prequel, you said, like a prelude. It's not a prequel, it's like a prelude. And so, in that, you know. Yeah, I could see everyone dying. It's just, it was the, like,
can I see that, Luke?
Obscene quickness, especially with the female characters. And I know you say that everyone dies off pretty quick, except for the ant guy. The ant guy was incredible.
Yeah, he was awesome.
And there were, you know, the action was good. The drawing was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
At least one girl took on a group of a dozen. Or
I'm not saying that they didn't all fight back the best they could. I really liked how the grasshopper guy died. He overexerted himself and became too much of a grasshopper to live. That was just crazy. So it isn't like I hate it. I just, like, I hate the fact that you can't really enjoy getting into any of the characters, because as soon as you do, they're gone. Yeah. And it's like that quick. And if they did fight off a whole bunch, it just shows them turning into their insect form. Oh, by the way, all these people are mutated and they turn into insects.
Yeah.
They turn into their insect form. And then, like, it shows a whole bunch of dead cockroaches, which are men. And then they're dead. Like, and they're like, in like the next panel, it's like, here's this chick. We give you her vital stats, introduce her. There's her insect form. There's the dead cockroaches. There, she's dead. Next page. And it's, I don't know, it's just, it seemed really fast. And I remember reading it thinking, I'm going to talk shit about this.
I will give it props for having an actual original story, because you don't usually, I mean, aside from Jeff Goldblum turning into a fly, I don't know of too many other
insect
mutation books.
True.
That's about all I got. That's
you
good.
See, for me, like, the cockroach dudes were a little too Attack on Titan for me.
Yeah.
A little bit.
In that part, maybe a little bit.
I'm not sure if this was first or not. This was actually copyrighted in 2011 in Japan, 2014 in the U.S., so there is a little bit of lag time with this title. This is one that I enjoyed just for the simplicity's sake. It's just throwaway trash. You're just reading it like a paperback book, and like a Mac Bolan or a Destroyer. It's just trash. You're
reading or like a comic strip. Like maybe Garfield's good, maybe he's not. But afterwards, oh well, you read the three panels, you're done. And like the lives of each of their characters is pretty much like a Garfield comic strip. Just four little panels. There are a lot of I would give them this, that it was very original to kill off like all the girls and most of the main important characters.
And it was a little bit original where it didn't, you know, it kept two males as survivors.
And not
as survivors.
One of them, you can, since he's on the front of the book, you can guess that he would probably survive. The other one is a very big surprise.
Yeah.
Actually, when it describes the insect in the end, it's like, well, duh, of course he would survive because he pretended to die.
Sleeping Chironomid.
Yeah, he went and found it. Yeah. It's a really cool insect, apparently.
The Asian giant hornet.
And I will say this, that these insects seem pretty legit. I think that the guys that made this book knew insects and they did a little bit of homework. They seem pretty legit. I'm not going to say that they're definitely experts like I did with Don Horan, because that was obviously stupid, but they seem very legit. Like they either thought about it a lot to create their own fun insects and mixed them in with normal insects, or they are all actual insects with those stats. I'm not an insect expert, so I'm not going to say.
I recognized at least a few of them.
Yeah, and I think
I recognized a bunch of them, but not all of them. Some of them were mysteries to me.
And the concept is, it's gene splicing. You put the insect DNA in there, but they've also amped you up where you're actually strong.
Yeah, that is kind of like an old RPG game we used to play, where there were these guys called Rifts, and there were these guys, like, they were called juicers, and they were basically steroid junkies. They would juice themselves and then they could go fight, and it was an RPG, so you know, you would give yourself extra vital stats by juicing yourself up if you played a juicer. But just like the grasshopper, what we would call here in Kansas a grasshopper, he overjuiced himself, and that is something that would happen in Rift. So you would overjuice yourself, hurt yourself very badly, sometimes get deformed, and sometimes die. So it was interesting that he kind of went through all of that, and that was one of the more clever deaths that I thought some of the death. I just thought a lot of the death was real, like, and cheap.
And I don't
like,
know.
It's like, okay, right, that was stupid.
Or what the Children biggest problem man. That I had was that the right after the Israeli guy gets his head ripped off, they kill the Russian girl. I think her name is Mira. Mm-hmm. And we watch her get cut in half.
Yeah,
and
she's the rainbow.
Right, and then it opens up, the next chapter opens up, and we get her backstory. And I'm like, I don't care. She's
dead.
I just watched her get cut in half.
Yeah, we need no backstory from any dead characters.
I mistook what you guys were talking about, the rainbow carapace, because there's two carapaces in here.
Yeah, and the other one's the other
completely
kind.
Fail against the roaches.
Right.
Yeah.
One of them works against bullets, but neither of them work against roaches.
No, yeah.
So, and that's one of the biggest problems. It's like, okay, we're going to get all the backstory, and then, or like the very first girl to die, which they encounter one of these roaches, she gets punched in the face and is dead.
Yeah,
and
he just like snaps her neck, right?
And then we come back, oh, this is why they were so close. Don't care. She's dead.
Exactly. The backstory was too late.
I should have done it beforehand and then had...
Yeah, then I would have cried. Maybe I would have cared a little more about the whole book. Maybe I'd have been even angrier. It's hard to say.
What about you, Jonathan?
I don't remember it.
Oh, I don't remember it.
He's like, I literally have no idea what you guys are talking about.
And now he's going to read it.
Okay.
I read it before all of you. Well, not... I mean, you read it and then I read it. And then I read it before these two, so I don't remember.
You don't remember. Too many books ago, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, this is one that's very violent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There is a little bit of nudity.
Not enough.
But this is...
Not enough to make up for all that violence.
But this is...
He's like, oh, there is. I missed it.
I didn't see it.
This is a Viz signature book, so it, like I said at the beginning, it is for the mature line. It's coded for 18 and up. So that's... You're going to get a little bit more violent book. And this is one, if you have slasher fans... Stuff like that, it would probably appeal to.
Same death, basically.
Oh, no.
Call that one out.
Rainbow beetle carapace. Evil armor.
But this one, I don't know if the story's going to get better as we go.
Yeah, I'd like to see what happens since they're jumping years in the future. Maybe they'll have a crew that at maybe like they just send people like Starship Troopers, like the first 100,000 or so they send all die. So then they like keep sending people and eventually they get like good at killing the roaches. Right. So that then we'll see like the Aliens 2 version.
They sent these guys up as the scouting party
and totally and lied to them. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Pretty much. But they knew the cockroaches were there. Some knew about the evolutions, but others didn't.
And that evolutionary track is totally ridiculous.
But it's a fiction.
It is.
One generation, and they're immune to the...
It's not just that. So it's that they become men. It's like cockroaches evolved very slowly.
They become humanoid.
And they haven't evolved in like 75 million years. That part in there is correct. That's true. No, they become like
humanoid,
human-hating, like humans with a little bit of extra cockroachy. Right. Like they're very humanoid. Like
they have memories from back.
They're more humanoid than a chimpanzee, which is also a great ape. You know what I'm saying? Like they lose all of their insect attributes. They don't have a thorax. They don't. You know, they have tiny little wings. I'm just like, I don't see that. Like if they were giant cockroaches that were actually cockroaches and eating people, that would have been more entertaining for me.
And it would be terrifying.
That'd be terrifying.
That's explained a little bit in book 2. I did read book 2. That's explained a little bit. That's why I said some people knew about this, some people didn't.
Yeah, I know that they were totally lied to, not by everybody, obviously, but some people knew what was going on. Yeah.
Put it that way. There's manipulations, and you get to find out who manipulated what and where. But this is one where the people were going in not knowing. They thought it was going to be a cakewalk. Like you said, Starship Troopers, and they get slaughtered.
Well, and the first guy thought that they were going to be friendly, like... Like, you don't just go up to an alien humanoid species that you basically created without fostering. Like, you know, you like created a sentient, like you went from insect intelligence to man-sized brains in one generation with no fostering. And, you know, you expect them to be friendly? No, you're probably not going to be friendly. Probably at least feral. Have you ever seen a feral cat? Like, this is just a cat that hasn't been like taken good enough care of. It's not even wild, you know, and it's like... That's just a cat. So, you know, like, I don't know.
The artwork's good in it. I like the artwork.
The artwork's fantastic.
Meaning is the good lieutenant that survived fairly long and was a female.
Yeah, she almost made it to the end.
Yeah, and then she got her legs ripped off and they cut her own head off.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was, But she was the Mantis? Wasn't one of them a Mantis?
Maybe.
Let's see. I'd have to go in here and look.
And one of them could... I forget what she... It's an actual, like, zombie-making bug. Yeah,
Victoria Wood.
Yeah, she could make the other ones into zombies and do her bidding, and then she, like, disguises herself as a roach. She should have left the roach costume on.
Yeah.
Because about the second she shows her face...
Yeah. And, that isn't even it. They try to bring one back, which apparently means bringing two back. Because that's how much eggs.
Here you go.
And let's.
We were talking about stats earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you get to know that this guy. I don't know if he has a like kind of foreshadowed that he might have something a little bit against women, or he objectifies them a little bit. I think he objectifies them a little bit.
A manga objectififies women?
What?
Not all of them do.
And it's not even hentai? What's going on here? No, they definitely don't
fight
all.
You tooth and nail. There's all types. That's not all of them. But
some of them kind of do.
And this one, you could tell it pretty much is. But on the female stats, the very last stat for Maria Vernon, G cup. Nana Ikito, F cup.
Yeah, these are cups that that American women rarely wear.
And these women, especially, I mean, they wouldn't wear either. I mean, good Lord. Jeez. Talk about back issues in the future.
But that's something that is very, very sought after in Japan right now. It's like, and for a while now, the large, Japanese woman with large breasts is like worth her weight in gold. Yeah. They really like that. And they like American women with large breasts, but they really, really, really like their own. And I don't know that I don't think they even get them augmented that often. I think they go for, you know, like they're breeding themselves to purebreds. They're literally like, oh no, I like her. She's got a great personality, but her boobs aren't big enough.
Well, this one, it's one of those, it's going to be, I like it for its simplicity. And I'll keep reading it just for the simplicity's sake, because I can go home, just read it, be done with it. I don't have to read it.
Yeah, it's a lot of eye candy, not a lot of boring words. I'll give it that.
Fast-paced, that's for damn sure, because you don't know who's going to die or not.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, it is a pretty good book. Yeah, they look ridiculous. The roaches bother me very badly.
What's going on in those two things?
In those two things, I don't know.
I can't. You're moving it around too much.
Oh, that's when, the doctor in Japan's on the phone with one of the roaches that turns out to be Victoria Wood.
That's Victoria Wood. She's
the other problem is that, so she uses this zombification of the roaches and puts on a roach costume, and literally the next generation, they hatch, and they're immune to it. I didn't realize we were dealing with the Borg.
Yeah, right. Yeah, these roaches are like they're gonna win. Like that's all it is. Like first off, roaches are terrifying as they are.
Yep.
They're unkillable. We could nuke our entire world to death. The only thing that would live was the roaches.
Ming-Jing is the mantis type, though. I don't think I ever saw a stat thing for her.
For all of them. It's just for most of them.
I think this is the first time you see her transformed state.
And then she dies.
Then she's gone.
Yeah.
No, she does the.
She survives a little bit, and then
the Mantis. The Mantis is the one that she goes a long way. I thought she was going to live.
We faced about a dozen.
I thought she was going to live with the.
The Wasp?
No. See, because of the way they were doing it from the beginning, like shock value kill, there's a lot of shock value kill in there.
Sure.
And. I thought the guy on the cover was going to roast. Yeah. I thought he was dead because the way that his girlfriend died and the way that everyone... And he was the idiot that's like, hey, buddy, you want to be my friend?
Yeah, that didn't go well.
Not at all. And then, and I thought that the Mantis chick and the guy that can't die. So obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And just those two. But ended up killing the last chick. And I was like, oh, that's the last chick. That's new. And I mean, you know, so for the shock value killing and the shock value surviving, I guess, A, for effort. And then I think for the rest of the story, like, you're really going to have to turn a corner to keep me. Like, I can understand Richard reading it for fun, but
Lieutenant
for me, they're going to have a little more plot and a little less shock value kill in the next volume,
yeah.
Or I'm done after two. I'll try the second one, but it better get a lot more plot.
And apparently the second generation cockroach people are what killed the praying mantis girl and suddenly had kung fu moves.
Yeah.
Of course.
They're the Borg, and they also got trained in the Matrix. So good job, super roach people. We'll enjoy being your slaves. So, yeah, what are we reviewing next?
But this is one where if a library wants to pick it up, a larger library, you'd have an audience there. Medium-sized to smaller, you could probably skip this one and get it on interlibrary loan. We'll pick it up just because I usually continue on. We have a couple of readers. It's usually worth picking up. And I've enjoyed it, so I'll probably keep up with it just to have a fun outing.
I'm going
to
try it. I'm going to read the second one. You've got me intrigued saying it jumps in the future and it gives a little more plot points, so I'll try it.
This is kind of like my guilty pleasure where a lot of people... Guilty pleasures.
I have a lot of guilty pleasures,
Saul's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really...
it's pretty much worthless as far as... After the third one, it is truly no plot at all. It's just, let's cut some people up, yeah.
So.
And even the first one, they're reaching hard. You're missing a piece of the human condition. I'm going to cut you to pieces to make you learn. did you learn? Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, wait.
I like that movie series.
I do too, kind of. It's just, it's like you said, it's a guilty pleasure. Like, they just hack everybody up. It's ridiculous. Like, it's like the old Scream series. Like, they were doing it on purpose. They were being as cliche as possible to be funny. And it was, I loved it. And a lot of my friends, even the horror movie buffs are like, you liked Scream and all of its sequels? I'm like, yeah, it was great. And they're like, no. to each his own.
There you go. I think that's going to pretty much wrap it up unless anybody else has any other fodder.
Not me.
I got nothing.
Just Jonathan hasn't had anything the whole time.
I mean,
he's too forgetful.
Yeah.
I guess I'll let you two read it and then you can tell me what happened. Because
I wonder how they'll get the win out of things that can do this.
I read the second volume. I don't remember that one either.
Yeah.
That's from the first volume.
Oh, good.
They can survive pretty much that. But apparently a bullet to the right place will kill them. Or punching very hard. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, it's
Let's
all...
Let's do that one next time. Let's do one.
The humanoid cockroach is like... For one thing, like, as we developed brains, are physical attributes less. And like, if you look at a Neanderthal or Cro-Magnon man, like they had huge, massive arms and legs and chests, and they were like, you know, they could like choke out a saber-toothed lion. Like, I mean, they were nasty big. Their skulls were like this big.
Yeah.
Just whatever. I'm just saying they were huge. Like, and I mean, so if cockroaches develop that kind of intelligence that quickly, you think that they would probably become less virile instead of, like, if you have a complex spinal cord, you can't twist your head around like he showed. Anything with a complex spinal cord, you're going to... Now, a cockroach does not. It has one little line that if you snap it, it can grow back because it's one nerve, literally. Like, a fly doesn't even have a brain. So if you make a giant fly with a brain, it's probably going to start acting like something with a brain and not just snap your necks. Everyone but the two dudes died.
All the two guys.
No, I mean the gal, like...
Yeah, I know. Like,
I think she died at the very beginning.
She died at the very beginning. And the thing is like, towards the end, I thought they were going to do this bring her back thing because she is the dude's girlfriend. But then in the end, it's like only two survivors. Like, I thought that they were going to do some... She had some sort of miracle insect move. No, she... And she never got to become an insect. It was all just...
Looking at the end.
Unless they do something at...
Back, yeah, see, like, towards the end...
They might be planning on doing something that just...
Or they lie, but yeah, they say in the end that there were only two survivors, then they were both males.
Yeah.
Unless they do something with her, that's a possibility.
There's two people was on coming the back, yeah.
Escape hatch. But anyway, we're going to go on with some of the emails and Twitters that we've gotten back here. Tweets, shit. We're going to go on and do some of the tweets that we received and some of the things we've gotten through Facebook. The first off, we want to give a shout out to Vance Major. He got with us and wanted us to make sure we got word out about all the hubbub about the Star Trek fan films and XR and the legal issues they've had with Paramount, and that Melbourne and several other individuals in the Star Trek fan film are not wanting to go against CBS. They know where the bread's buttered, and they're not wanting to rock the cart. So he wanted to make sure that we put a message out there. That
it seems like a lot of people in the Starbase Studios crowd, I've seen a lot of support for Paramount CBS. Yeah. I mean, you know, when somebody owns something, you gotta respect their right.
But he sent us a thank you for doing that shout out. And then we got a tweet from Anna Rose. Says, hey, thank you so much for sharing Bury Me Deep. Stay tuned for my full EP. Comes out in June 17th, which is, of course, after this recording. But actually, as things work out, we did receive her EP, and we are going to be reviewing it in a future podcast. So thank you, Anna, for that and sharing the EP with us. So I think that's going to do it for us. We've been having fun tonight. We've been talking about Terra for Mars by Yu Suguga and Kenichi Tachibana from Viz Signature. If you're interested in sending us a tweet or a Facebook message or just getting to us with our email, our email is admin@comicpoplibrary.com. Facebook, just look under Comic Pop Library. On our Twitter account is Comic Pop Library as well. So if you want to get in touch with us, be sure to do it that way. We'll read it on the air. And for everybody that has been getting back in touch with us, we do appreciate it very much. And with that, I think that's going to do it. Again, we've been having fun. Hope everybody out there has been having fun. We'll catch you on the next ride.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya. I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so
thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.